You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
To die is human. To have hope is divine.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Father, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, lift us up to the high ground of hope. Turn everything around for us with the living hope you hold out to all men through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised to power and glory as the Lord of heaven and earth. In his saving name we pray. Amen. Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? Asked the angel. Very early in the morning, several women went out to a tomb outside Jerusalem. They were doing what women do for one who has died over the weekend. They loved this man who had come to mean so much to them. He cared for them, and they cared about him. He loved them, and they loved him. He gave their lives meaning and hope, and made them feel glad to be alive. Now he was dead. He was gone, and another dream had been shattered. The women went to the tomb, as people do, to honor one who has died, one about whom they cared and whom they loved. This is human as anything can be. Despondency was written on their faces, and disillusionment in their very walk during those early morning hours. They had counted heavily on him, and they walked to the grave with an air of resignation, certain of only one thing. They would have to start waiting all over again. They would have to start hoping all over again. They would have to be convinced all over again that God is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. All of us know how they felt. We all have those moments when hopes are shattered and dreams are dispelled. We know what it means to suffer disillusionment, to wait and keep on waiting, to hope in vain. In the Reader's Digest of November 1974, there was an article titled, That Vital Spark, Hope. The article began with a quotation from Martin Luther. Everything that is done in the world, said Luther, is done by hope. When there is no hope, nothing is done, nothing happens, and everything is dead. The angel said to the women, Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's a good question for people who expect to find nothing but the dead. In a world like ours, where things are more likely to go wrong than to come out right, I can feel for those women and with anyone else who is not surprised but nevertheless dismayed by death. A friend of mine was telling me a story about a man who was trapped in a railroad refrigerator car. The man somehow got locked up in this refrigerator car and kept a diary of his experience. He described his last days as the car got increasingly cold and he became weaker and weaker. His final entry was, I am freezing to death. They found him dead. They discovered also that the temperature in that refrigerator car never went below 40 degrees. He had died not of cold, but of despair. During one of the recent wars, A study of prisoners disclosed that those who were convinced they would be released from prison and focused their attention on the life they might have following their release were healthier and suffered less mental and psychological damage than those who lost hope and believed they were never to return home. Hope is very important. It's essential. It is indispensable. Without hope, people cannot live. Our world is living without hope. That's its problem. People are, as one of Christ's men said, without God and without hope in the world. Don't say that doesn't make any difference. Despair is the greatest killer of all. What a beautiful alibi it offers for not doing anything, for not trying, for not wanting to live. It makes people say, nothing I do matters. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I need to do. How tricky despair is. Giving up hope is to manufacture one of the best excuses there is for dying. Hope doesn't let you go. It won't let you die. It won't let you give up. Hope gives energy and courage. It moves to action. At the southern tip of Africa, there's a point called the Cape of Good Hope. In 1487, an explorer by the name of Bartolomeo Dias sailed all the way down to the southern tip of Africa. When he came to that peak that juts out into the water, he called it the Cape of Storms. Navigators have told about how stormy that area can be. A man on a modern ship reported that his ship tilted to an angle of about 30 degrees for several days during a storm in that area. One of his men stepped off a ladder, slipped, and hurt his leg so badly he had to be flown home for medical treatment. Diaz had a first experience of such storms. When he returned to Portugal, he told King John II of those ferocious winds and waves. As the king listened, he had a surprising reaction. He saw the possibility of sailing around this cape to India. He renamed it the Cape of Good Hope. 10 years later, in 1497, another explorer, Vasco da Gama, made a successful trip by sea around the Cape of Good Hope to India. The grave is the universal symbol of hopelessness. It's the place where all people wind up, every one of them, the ones with dreams and the ones without. At the grave, you leave everything behind, things on which you counted and in which you took your pride, on which your hopes depended. No one brought anything into this life, and it is certain that no one is going to take anything out. Only one grave in the history of our world has given the world hope. It's the grave of Jesus Christ. On an ordinary morning, like every other morning, a few ordinary women went out to that grave to take care of the ordinary things that would ordinarily have been taken care of on Friday, except for the fact that there was no time on Friday. It was a Sunday morning, in the days when Sunday was nothing but the first day of the week. There they were met by the great event in all of history. Two men in white garments said to them, "Why are you looking for one who is alive among the dead?" The women must have wondered whether they'd been mistaken on Friday. But they could not have been mistaken. They must have been wondering whether someone was playing a trick on them. But the grave was empty. They must have wondered whether somebody could have stolen his body away. But they knew the guard of Pontius Pilate would have prevented that. They wondered, and they were afraid. I'm not making this up, for this is what they themselves said, and what one of Christ's men has reported to us. Why are you looking for one who is alive among the dead? That's a good question. We live in a world where it's assumed that something like this could not happen. People who accept it as a fact are looked upon as simple dreamers, ready to believe anything. I, for one, am not ready to believe anything. I'm like his men, who were not ready to believe either. They had to be convinced. Like them, once they were convinced, I'm ready to accept the most attested fact in history. He rose from the dead. He is alive. He is alive and well. He is Lord. Once people get that idea, they are changed. The reason so many people are not changed is that they have not yet got the idea. They talk about his resurrection, but they don't really believe it. If they believed that he is alive and well, they would not act as they do. They would not be filled with fear, fretting with selfishness, filled with bitterness, dedicated to self-preservation as is the world, without God and without hope in the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ does something for people. It gives them life. It gives them new life. Where they were dead before, they come alive. As St. Peter said, it's like being born again. Great is the name of God, he said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of the magnificence of his mercy has brought us to life again and given us a hope that is alive all through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why God, his Father, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, to give people life. It is one thing to die for the sins of the world as he did, and it is another to rise from the dead, to give people life in the confidence that his death really was an atonement for the sins of the world. It's one thing to know that he died for our sins, and it is another to know that he is alive and his forgiveness for you is real. It's for you, to give you life, new life. What I'm talking about can happen to ordinary people, to people like you. The pastor was telling me about a woman in his congregation. This woman had more troubles than the average person. Problems do one thing or the other. They either make people bitter or they make them better. Her troubles embittered this woman against God. She had a son. While she had no love for God herself, she thought it would not hurt to let the boy receive a religious education. So she sent the boy to Sunday school. She stayed in her car in the parking lot north of the church building during the hour her son was in the Sunday school class. No church service for her. She wanted none of it. In fact, she said sometimes she would even turn the car around in the parking lot so that her back would face the building. The building reminded her of God, and she was so put out with God that she didn't want even to look at the church. Her son came back to the car and encouraged her. He invited her at times to go to church with him. In addition, some of the people of the church were very kind to her. Finally, she was won over, not to the church, but to God. She said, "When I needed friends, there were friends to help me." This woman was born anew. She still had problems, some of them bigger than the ones she had before. But now it was different. Where she had been bitter and angry against God, now she loved him. She trusts Jesus as her Savior and friend today. God is important to her. She is devoted to him. She was dead, and now she is alive. No wonder St. Peter said, "Hooray for God! For in the magnificence of his mercy, he has brought us to life again and has given us a hope that is alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's like being born again. It is a rebirth of hope where life begins again. That is what happens. Believe me, when you get hope in Jesus Christ, you get that when it becomes clear to you that he is alive and well. He depended utterly on God, and God raised him from the dead. He didn't just have this coming to him. He earned it by his complete obedience to his Father. For all of us disobedient sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, he was obedient unto death, even the death of a common criminal. Wherefore, God gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Raising Jesus Christ from the dead, God declares to you, here is where you find life. Why do you seek the one who is alive among those who are dead? In Jesus Christ, there's life. He's actually broken the chains of death. God raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power. The women came that day expecting to find a corpse and having no hope of finding anything else. What they found was life, new life, life in Christ Jesus. We've been celebrating that surprise every Sunday for centuries now. People with new life celebrate it every day. Christ is alive every day. Where there's life, there's hope. Wherever Christ is, there's hope. He is endless hope, which abides forever. It's hard to believe that a man could rise from the dead. It's hard to believe that there could be new life because he rose from the dead. We believe more difficult things all the time, of course. Buy a bag of tulip bulbs and you plant them in the ground. Some of them die. But still you keep believing. 50% of them come up. You don't know where the life is located in those bulbs. You can cut up the bulb, chop it up, dissect it, analyze it, and you still won't be able to tell me where the life is in that bulb. But you still believe that it will come up, or at least some of them will come up. I believe that God, who put life in that bulb and preserves that life over the winter time, is able to give new life by his power, just as he gave it to Jesus Christ, his son. St. Paul said to King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Why should it be thought incredible that God can give new life to people, new hope, new faith, new love, all in Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead? There's no new life in the graveyards of wealth and power. The people there are just dead, as the ones are who have no tombstone at all. There's no new life in political organization, economic growth, or social development. They all go as they came and are dead. Why seek you the living among the dead? Why try to find new life in the bankruptcies of our world? I'm not writing off wealth and power. They can be used beneficially, and they can also brutalize the world. I'm not decrying social or economic development, but movements to reform economies and societies invariably become corrupted themselves, are in need of reform themselves. New life is in the one who does not die. He is alive. He is one of us. He's not a dying Lord, but a Lord of life. Why seek you the living among the dead? The women were surprised. They sought the dead and found the living. They didn't know. They heard the message and came alive. People that are hearing the message every day are coming alive. It's the power of God in the lives of people today. It can happen to you as it has happened to me. I'm no exception. The power of God is able to bring you to life through faith in Jesus Christ, because he is alive. People are still digging around in the grubby refuse of wealth, power, position, and prestige, searching for the comfortable life in the hope they may find something that will give them real life. It is a futile task, and they will find only disappointment. There's nothing there. The only thing that can happen in those graveyards among the tombs is that you feel betrayed and disillusioned. But you keep going back to those dead lords and trying to pin your hopes on them. No wonder real life eludes your grasp. Thank God for God. Thank God that he is God. He keeps directing us away from the dead to the one who is alive. And he is Jesus Christ. God raised him on high for every eye to see. In him he destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. The idea now is to listen to the gospel, to pay attention, to believe, and to live. The light of Jesus Christ dispels the fog over the graveyards of our world. It's right there in front of your eyes. Believe, my friend, and have life. The great God has not abandoned you. He didn't abandon those women, and he does not abandon you. That's good news for you, too, no matter what kind of life you've been living. Jesus Christ is alive. In him there's new life for you. Why keep rummaging around among the tombs looking for life? Look up and see him there standing with you. Why seek you the living among the dead? Follow him out of the graveyard to real life. It may seem to you like losing your life, but as he himself said, that's the way to find it. Why keep on looking for the one who is alive among the dead? He's not dead. He is alive. With faith in him, my friend, come alive. Be alive. Amen.